province to look into a guaranteed nurse-to-patient ratio. Joining me to discuss this is Joan Jessup, president of the Nova Scotia Government and General Employees Union. Joan, how are you today?
I'm good, Todd.
Excellent. So how do we know that the ratio is not what it should be currently?
Well, we can tell because they're working short-staff. Nurses are working short-staff all the time. The sense of crisis mode on the floors. Nurses not being able to get off, you know, even be able to take their earned time off. Nurses working an exorbitant amount of overtime and millions of dollars every year. So, and there's also burnout and a lot of nurses retiring as soon as they're eligible rather than hanging around for another 2 or 3 years at a full-time wages, at a full-time hours. So there's all kinds of indicators out there. And we also know in Nova Scotia that there's a looming shortage of about 800 RNs. And I would argue that that shortage is upon us.
Do we know how much money it would, because you talk about all this overtime, could you just not hire some more nurses? And I would think it would be more cost-effective than that, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a little bit deeper than just hiring nurses for numbers. What we're looking for is a mandated nurse-to-patient ratio. So depending on the units, the type of care that's delivered, they would have so many patients per nurse. So we want a minimum mandated and a process based on the acuity of patients to be able to increase those numbers. So there certainly will be a cost to this up front, but the benefits in the long term, and I should say not even the too long distance, is the fact that you'll have patients that won't be readmitted because of infections. There'll be less readmissions. The mortality rate should go down. Patients are healthier, safer, and able to get the bedside care that's required. And you have the costs of overtime, sick leave, all of that would be reduced. Overall, it creates a more stable nursing floors, and it's better for the patients. It really is about patient safety. The nurses are saying they can't continue to work at this pace and deliver the care that's expected, and they're very much afraid that something's going to happen to one of their patients. And these are nurses are trained advocates, so they're stepping up to the plate on this.
What's the new government saying about this, the Liberal government?
Well, in fairness to the government, we have not had that face-to-face meeting with the new Liberal government. We are been at the bargaining table with the Capital District Health Authority, which is a tertiary care center, referral center for the Atlantic region, and, you know, has a lot of very high level as well as other hospitals in the different provinces. But it has, we have both close to 2,600 RNs and about another 500 LPNs that are employed with the Capital District Health Authority. We also represent RNs in public health addictions and continuing care across the province. But we're at the bargaining table. You can't just strike a committee, say, call the employer and strike a committee, let's talk about this. We want to use the process of negotiations to put into the collective agreement mandated minimum nurse-to-patient ratio. And it's at the bargaining table we need to do that. So we've been sitting across from the employer. We are back to the table, I believe it's the 29th and 30th of January, and which is only 2 weeks away. We are not anticipating getting a deal, to be quite honest, based on the conversations that happened at the table just before Christmas. So we've launched a public relations campaign so that the nurses themselves can tell the patients how concerned they are about, I mean, they do deliver really good care in very extreme conditions, but it can't last. It just can't last. We have an aging workforce with nurses. We have a lot of nurses coming in from the universities, not getting permanent jobs, getting, you know, casuals or term positions, but not getting a permanent job where they start to put down roots and are able to pay off their student loans and start a family, whatever they need to do to make sure that they stay here in Nova Scotia. We have retirees, people that are eligible to retire, retiring earlier than normal because of the working conditions. The floors are in a state of crisis as far as having adequate staff to be able to deliver the care that's required. And we believe, we have the evidence on this, and there's been a ton of research since patient staff ratios have been implemented in Australia, California, and in parts of BC. So it's not new. I think that what we're asking we haven't had to face to face with government, but we're certainly asking the employer to have the courage to put something that we can defend and we can have a dispute mechanism to it, rather than set up a committee that And in our experience, committees usually start with good intentions, but they fall by the wayside. People get distracted and they don't attend, and committees don't have teeth because there's no dispute mechanism. So our argument is that we want a mandated minimum and a process to increase those numbers in the event it's proven that it's needed.
Does it depend on which unit you're in, which floor you're on? I'm sure that the ratio would vary, would it, depending on what type of care?
It certainly does vary. I mean, we've got the ORs, the ERs, the ICUs, and then so they would have certainly a different standard than maybe a general surgery, but it's a standard that's been proven. There's been a lot of research done by Professor Dr. Lois Berry from Saskatchewan, and so it talks about there's a lot of good that comes out of this for both patients and nurses, but it is defined based on whether it's mental health, whether it's psychiatric, critical psychiatric, or whether it's orthopedic floors, or whether it's ICUs or the step-down units. There's different formulas that can be used and proven, but there are minimum numbers, so that means that they can't dip below those numbers, or we would be able to, through the collective bargaining process, grieve it. Today, if they did that up with a committee and they dip through, there's no we can't do anything about it, and there's too much at risk.
So you're saying that if this ratio is what it should be, that patients get better care, fewer return visits, nurses don't burn out, overtime, it could be, from a monetary standpoint, better also?
It does. It takes a bit of time because we don't know how many people don't get readmitted. We have to almost go through a year or so to be able to say. Because we do know people get readmitted. We do know that there's a lot of potential for med errors because of constantly working short, and automatically, if the first person is not able to make it into work, they're not replaced. So if somebody else can't make it for whatever reason, and they don't make it in, so, I mean, we know that they can be working two and three nurses short. Nurses can have so many patients that they can't get to the bedside, and a big part of their job is observation. It's, assessment, and they're drowning in paperwork. Paperwork, a lot of it's not necessary. They're highly professional, well-educated. They have the basis to be able to sit down with their team and say, this is what we need to work safe. But there really isn't a process that's in place that makes it mandated so that the employer is held accountable for it.
Do you think there's some money in the bureaucracy levels or other levels that could help pay for this or improve this ratio?
I'll give you an example. I was talking to a nurse just maybe an hour ago, and this nurse had a family member pass away, a very close family member pass away, and the nurse herself had had some surgery, so she's back to work now, ready to come back to work, wanting to work the hours that she's scheduled to, and, went to the manager and said, I'd like to have some, I need bereavement leave because this is like a, family, a very close family member. And there was a lot of dispute about what the issue was. So instead of giving the nurse the one day that she wanted to take off for the funeral, she is entitled in the collective agreement to 5 days bereavement because of how close the family member is to her.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of working with the staff to say, we need you here. We can't give you this day. We need to come back in. We'll switch shifts and all that stuff. Rather than saying yes, we can work with that, and you can have that day off. The nurse is now going to take what she's entitled to, which is 5 bereavement days. So, this is what's happening with the scheduling with the nurses, and the scheduling in Capital Health is all over the map. They're implementing new rules every time you turn around. The nurses that have been in the profession, this is a 30-year nurse I'm talking about. These aren't new nurses that don't know the rules, haven't been there long enough to know some of the rules. But it's how they're treated. And in the same breath, they're expected to give 150% to the patient that lays in the bed that's, could be grade ill. So we got to take care of our nurses. We got to make sure that they have some quality of work life, that they're not working unsafe, that their licenses aren't in jeopardy, and that they have adequate staffing to take care of the people that they've been trained to take care of. That's what mandated staff-patient ratio is all about.
Joan, thanks for doing this. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Joan Jessen, President of the Nova Scotia Government General Employees Union. Scott.